Amen. That is great. I want to do His will, don't you? If you win your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And not necessarily diverting from our study on devotional life, but going to apply what we learned last week. And that is talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new. I want to preach just a little bit tonight on separation. And the title of the message would be Putting on the New Man. Putting on the new man. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. God, help us tonight, again, that it be doers of the word and not hearers only. Help us to put on that new man. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we think about the modern church, we think about churches today who for the most part, do not stand up and preach on biblical separation. But as Christians, the Bible calls us to separation. It calls us to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. That we as Christians ought to live differently. There ought to be a distinction between us and those who live in the world. I think again about the children of Israel and how God called them out. By the way, Abraham wasn't born a Jew, he became a Jew. He became Jew through the Abrahamic covenant, through the covenant of the act of circumcision with the promise of God. And through that, Abraham became a distinct nation. His future seed became a distinct nation. All the way up until the time of Moses, in which they were given the law and were given absolute the way they should live and what they should do, it made them distinct, very distinct from the nations around them. Unlike the Canaanites, unlike the Amorites and all the other ite people around them who worshipped other gods and were very... By the way, all that worshipping idols and all the other religions and so-called of that day, most of them were linked to immorality. The draw to those religions, the draw to those idols was immorality. And so God was calling them out to say, hey, you're going to be separate. You're going to be distinct from the world. Solomon was raised up by God to show how God could bless one man and one nation who would give their life and their nation to the Lord. And God blessed them, made them distinct. And as Christians, we ought to live distinct lives. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put on that new man. Take off the old man and put on the new. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to be like Christ. They were called Christians first at Antioch, Christ-like ones, Christ followers. And we ought to live a life, again, that's followers in Jesus' steps. There are two things to separation. One is the positive separation. In other words, that we ought to be separated from, but unto. Not only from, but unto. In other words, we're to be separated from the world, but unto God. And there are those who may live a life of separation, but they're not living a life of separation unto God. They're living a life of separation unto themselves and many other things. But on the positive side, we're to separate our lives from the world unto prayer. Unto prayer, unto reading, unto the Word of God, and having that daily walk with the Lord. Amen? Y'all awake? Having that separation, but unto God. Having a daily walk with the Lord. We're to separate ourselves from the world unto the local church. Unto Heritage Baptist Church and Victory Baptist Church and Worth Baptist Church. And that we ought to be faithful to the house of God. We ought to be separated from the world unto Christian service. And that we ought to all have a part in the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the church and outside the church. Serving Him daily, but also serving Him within the church. And also being separated unto God and then separated unto fellowship with our fellow Christians. I'm thankful for the fellowships we have around here. We make a lot of fun of eating, and I do it on purpose. But the fellowship is important. They said they went from house to house and breaking of bread there in Acts chapter 2. And it's important. People don't want to just believe. They want to belong. I want to belong. The pastor wants to belong. I want to be able to sit down and have fellowship and break bread and talk to somebody and learn about them. I enjoy that. How was your week? You know, how's the family going? You know, how is the job? How are you feeling? I want to hear all those things. And so when we sit down, we fellowship, it gives us an opportunity to get to know our fellow Christian, our fellow family member. And so we are separated from the world unto prayer, unto Bible reading. We are separated unto the church. We're separated unto Christian service and fellowship. And so it's not just about the things we separate from, but the things we separate from then unto. So make sure you understand that. And so, but there are, of course, the negative separations. The Bible says there in Romans chapter 12, and you're close, so you might as well read it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Reasonable service. I love that, the way that God puts that there, the way Paul writes it. It's our reasonable service to make ourselves a sacrifice wholly acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world. Do not mold to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to separate from the world unto God, that I might know His will and live and do His will. Miss Linda just sang about it. I want to do Thy will, O Lord. I want Him to make me and mold me and break me. I want to be molded to the image of His dear Son, not to the image of this world. And of course, understand, for those of you here tonight that may not catch this, but it's simple, and that is, when the Bible speaks of the world, it's not talking about the ground we're walking on. It's talking about the world system, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all the things that entice us here in this world and draws us away from God, that we need to live lives that are holy and acceptable unto Him, that we're to present our lives to Him. The greatest gift you can give the Lord is yourself. So, Lord, I am not mine. I'm not mine. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And we read that verse here in a little bit. But so, we think about 2 Corinthians. Turn over there with me. We're going to be there a few times. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Familiar passage to most of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11 says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged, and ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense of the same, I speak unto my children, but ye also enlarge. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Can I just encourage you with your kids, yourself, don't marry somebody who's an unbeliever. It's the worst thing you can do. And I have seen so many divorces in the ministry over the last 24 years that were largely based, if not totally based upon, irreconcilable differences in religion, if you would. They just will not mash. A Catholic will not mash with a Baptist. If you're really a Baptist, you cannot mash with a Catholic, and so forth and so on. So, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what hath communion hath light with darkness, and what hath concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement with the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Aren't you glad of that? And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And what? I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm a part of the family of God. And as Christians, we ought to come out and be separate. We ought to choose to separate ourselves from certain people, those who would pull us down. Many times as a new Christian, you have to separate from certain friends in order for you not to be dragged down. By the way, I want to remind us Christians, as we have that opportunity, we've had so in this church on numerous occasions, to see people get saved, and that we should help them in that, and helping them as they need new friends. It's again about belonging somewhere. We got to give them an alternative to their worldly friends, and give them the opportunity to reach their worldly friends, yes, but also give them an alternative with fellowship. We ought to separate ourselves from certain people. I said, growing up, my dad would not allow me to have a close friend who wasn't a believer. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a friend whom you can influence, but be careful. Be careful. And do not have close friends. Close friends. Notice how I'm wording that. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Doesn't mean we need to ostracize ourselves as some monk out in the middle of nowhere. Right? That's not what the Bible's teaching here. But we shouldn't be of the world. And so we need to be very cautious of who we allow into that inner circle in our life. We do not want people pulling us down. You know, we don't want to have someone who invites us over and there's drinking going on, as an adult even. Amen. Hello? Right? We talk about, I'll preach up here, and I have many times, and said to teenagers, if you show up at a party and there's alcohol there, you need to leave. Well, can I tell you, as an adult Christian, if you show up to a party and there's alcohol there, you need to leave. Don't associate. Don't put yourself in that position, and don't have close friends who would put you in that position. We need to be very, very careful. We should live a distinct life. Separate from those who would, how can two be unequally yoked together? And then separating from certain places. And y'all know I was going to head there. Those who would dishonor Christ are those who would be against the Bible. And so there's certain places Christians shouldn't go. And I mention Billy Bob's every once in a while, and I know that that place has become some kind of entertainment, whatever. But there ain't no way I'm going there. I know it's just over here. But there's certain places we shouldn't go. If I'm not going to show up to a bar. And I know it's the lines have been blurred because every restaurant has a bar in it now. But I'll choose not to sit close to the bar. And I remember as a kid, my dad would not go to a place that served beer or served alcohol at all. But you can't do that anymore. And let me give you another principle in regards to that. I'm called to be separated from the world today, not the world of 50 years ago. And there is a difference. I'll give you several illustrations. There was a time when if you were to play cards, it would have been a reproach. It would have been a bad example because cards were directly associated with gambling. And a lot of times in churches of old, they didn't allow cards or card games into the church, and rightly so. Today, they're not associated that way. I'm not called to be separated from the world of 50 years ago. And so, yes, there's been some some switching, some changing, and so I'm called to be separated from the world today. I remember Eddie Johnson, our pastor, talking about the first church there in East Texas he took and became the pastor of. They had no kitchen in the church because a kitchen was associated with worldlyism. And so there's certain things of 50, 60 years ago. And I would even say in my own mind that going to the movies 50 years ago has a different connotation of going to movies today. It just doesn't have the same separation issue. If you choose not to go to movies, that's fine. I think that's great, actually. But I'm just saying the connotation's different. Let me say it again. I'm not called to be separated from the world of 50 years ago. I'm called to be separated from the world today. That I live a distinct life today. That others see Christ in me today. That they can see a difference between me and the world. And of course, there's certain biblical truths that are absolute precepts that I don't have to question, such as drinking. The Bible makes it clear that a Christian shouldn't drink. It makes it absolutely clear. And so, therefore, there are certain things I know that I should separate from. There are certain things I know I shouldn't do. I don't even have to base them upon principles. I don't have to gather a bunch of scriptures together to base it upon principles. I can actually take you to a scripture or 5 or 10 or 70 scripture that put drinking alcohol into a negative connotation. And that if you drink it, you're a fool. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whoever takes thereof, whoever is deceived thereby, is not wise. That's what the Bible says. And if you're not wise, that means you're a fool. And so I just like to point that out. This is going on video too. Maybe some others will watch it. Should have preached this on a Sunday morning. But we are to put on that new man. There ought to be a distinction. And we live in a day in which Christians' churches today are blurring the lines. And we need to be very careful. Certain places we shouldn't go. Certain people we shouldn't associate with. Certain habits we shouldn't have. And I know as a kid growing up, I had one particular pastor. Every Sunday he got up and preached against something. And I don't do that around here, and I don't think you should. But there are things we should be against. Yeah. I am against abortion. It's murder. Amen. I am against sin. It's wrong. And there are certain habits a Christian shouldn't do. A Christian shouldn't smoke. Amen. Right? I mean, a Christian shouldn't drink. A Christian shouldn't. And I could go through all the don'ts of Christianity, and we get labeled for all the don'ts. But there are so many more things we can do. And by the way, the things we can do are so much better for us. And God had our best interests in mind, always does. And any rule that he sets down for our own good. Don't you do that with your own kids? Man, I set some rules for my kids. I want to protect them. I want to help them. I want to lead them. I want to direct them. And so God has set down certain requirements, certain things for us to for our own good. And we know that. So for certain habits, we're to be separated from. It's habits that will harm our Christian testimony. There's a story told about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who I believe was the greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul. And to me, there's not even a doubt or debate. An amazing, amazing man. Preached during the 1800s, or about 1850 to the late 1800s. Pastored then in England, in London, the largest church in the world at the time. Just an amazing, amazing man that God used in a powerful way. Well, he one day there showed a... They had a advertisement in the paper of Charles Haddon Spurgeon smoking a cigar. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon smoked cigars. And he said that when he saw that, it convicted him. Now, the connotation of smoking then didn't have the connotation it does now. It wasn't the same, but it convicted him. And it convicted him that it was the brand of cigars he smoked that was advertising it. And he never smoked another one after that, because it hurt his testimony. He knew it. It's just amazing how we know what we should and shouldn't do. For the, you know, we really do. And people get upset and try to defend certain habits and certain things because the flesh craves it. Not necessarily because they know whether it's wrong or right, or right or wrong. And now I'm getting in murky water. But we should be separated from and unto. And so understanding that it's not just about being separated from things or from people or from places or from habits, but being separated from those things unto God. Everybody still with me? Separation. There are reasons for separation. The Christian must choose between the things of the world and the things of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters. Either love God or love mammon." And you can't serve both. And so we must choose. Choose to this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. I want to be on the Lord's side. Yeah. I want to be on the Lord's side. I'm going to choose the things of the Lord over the things of this world. Now, my flesh craves the things of this world. And I could put a lot of funny comments in here about food. But my flesh does crave the things of this world. And God has... so richly given to us power and grace to overcome those appetites. And we do not have to yield ourselves of instruments of unrighteousness. Romans 6 says that we not only have been saved from the penalty of sin, we've been saved from the power of sin. And that as Christians, we can overcome sin in our life. Yeah. Or else Jesus wouldn't have said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So we must understand that we must choose. What is your choice tonight? You must make the choice. Dad, you're going to make the choice. Mom, you need to make the choice. Grandparent, make the choice. And by the way, you can help make the choice for your children. And grandparents, you can influence your children. My, in our family growing up, my great-grandfather was a farmer. He had a vegetable stand. I don't remember that. It was before my time. But I even when I was a kid, there was still the old big freezer out back. The wooden freezer, you know, walk-in freezer, but it was a big wooden one. And it was cool to go in there because there was still stuff in there from like 10 years ago in bottles and, you know, canned. It looked like things from outer space. There were old things in there. And they were farmers. And I can remember, as long as I can remember all the way back, I can remember my great uncle, my great grandfather, all chewing tobacco. And they had chewed tobacco since they were 5 or 6 years old, literally. They had chewed tobacco that long. And so my dad's dad chewed tobacco, right? You take that stuff and you got it in your mouth. I can remember when I was a kid, my dad chewed tobacco. And I can remember the spit tune when I was a kid. I can remember it very vividly, the brass spit tune. And I remember the stories about my mom telling about her picking up the wrong glass a few times and drinking my dad's spit, you know. And I could tell you, my dad's dad got saved. I don't know exactly the time, but in his 30s, early 30s. He didn't quit chewing, but my dad, when he got saved when he was 27, about a year or two after that, he was in a missions conference. I've told you this story before, some of you. My dad was in a missions conference, and he walked the aisle, and he told the Lord, I will quit chewing today and give my chewing tobacco money to missions. And that's exactly what he did, never took another chew. I say that. I think he did like a year later. I think he told me the story about he found a package of it and took it in, and his mouth broke out in ulcers. But that's a whole other story. Lord helped him in that. My pawpaw, too, as my kids were being born, fell under very deep conviction about it not only influencing us, but the great-grandkids. He told me when we started having kids, my pawpaw did, that he was so thankful. It was like having grandkids all over again, his great-grandkids. He got to be a pawpaw all over again. He loved it, and I miss him very, very much. And but he quit chewing tobacco about 10 years before he died. I'm just telling you, you know it's wrong. My pawpaw knew it was wrong. My dad knew it was wrong. And therefore, we need to come out from those things. You can't serve God and mammon. I told you that story, and I was going for a point, but I forgot what it was. The Christian, I still made a point with it, which just wasn't the point I was going to make when I started the story. The Christian cannot serve God and mammon. The Christian must seek the glory of God. We know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Do all things to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should glorify our Heavenly Father. And what does that mean? It means it should bring praise to Him. It should elevate Him. It certainly shouldn't bring Him down. And there's many other scriptures we can turn to. The Christian, number three, is commanded to abstain from even the appearance of sin. Remember that verse? It's a tough one. We ought to write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of sin. All appearance of sin. We ought to be careful even to... perception does matter. I've learned that in the ministry. Perception does matter. And how we're perceived matters to God, and it matters to the individual. And so even if you think, man, this is a gray area, I'm not sure which way it should go, always err on the side of caution. If abstain from all appearances of evil. I know I tell stories that I've already told, but my papa went into a convenience store, bought some lottery tickets. My papa was blessed financially, had no issues. He could buy whatever he wanted to do, whatever. I mean, God had blessed him immensely. Him buying a couple lottery tickets, whatever. But after he bought the lottery tickets, he turned around, and there was a young couple from his church there. And automatically, it smote him. He never bought another one. Because it's about making his brother stumble. The Bible talks about us not making our brother stumble. We need to be careful about even the appearance of sin. That we make a fellow brother or sister stumble. And I'm telling you, folks, this can go back to many different things. This can go back to the way we dress and the way we affect someone who may look at us in the way we dress and may cause them to stumble. Well, you say, are you going to get into that if I dress a certain way that it could cause a man to sin? That's what the Bible says. We need to be careful about being a stumbling block to someone else. Right? Summer's coming. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Look it up. We need to dress in modest apparel, the Bible says. Well, preacher, your definition of modest and my definition of modest are different. Okay, I totally agree. You may decide that shorts to the knees is modest, or you may decide, you know, shorts 2 inches above the knees is modest. I don't know. But I can tell you, a girl running around in her underwear at the beach is not modest. I'm still just boggles my mind how any dad could let their daughter go to a beach or go to a pool wearing their underwear. You say, well, it's not their underwear, it's a bathing suit. It's just a different color, a different material. I, I, don't shoot the messenger because I tell you the truth. I don't get it. So, all of us agree there is a standard somewhere. Your standard absolutely can be different than mine. I'm not saying everybody has to dress up like I'll use the word monk again. Nobody has to dress up from heel to toe, you know. Nobody has to dress up like the ladies do in Islam. And, I'm just saying, but dress modestly. And those rules will differ a little bit. But there is a line. There is a line. And we should be careful about where we draw the line that it brings glory to God, wherever that line is. At our home, we chose to make the line knee length. That's where the line is and where the line has been. At our house, we've chosen for our kids not to mix swim. But we haven't gone to the extreme my dad has. If we go to the lake in our boat on a Friday and if there's other people out there swimming, we try to stay away from them. But guess what? Every once in a while, we're going to get close enough to see somebody. Okay, all right. But we try to be careful. And I just want to be open and honest because I don't want somebody, hey, the preacher's got a boat. I know he goes, okay, all right, you found me out. We wouldn't have boys and girls mix swim in their bathing suits at our house, but they can come in their shorts and T-shirts and swim at our house, and they have done that. And so I'm just saying, of course you can carry things to the extreme, but find whatever it is and stick to it. Let your kids know and understand that there is a standard, and then stick to the standard. And what is that standard? And mom and dad need to decide that. And what ultimately it should glorify God. It shouldn't be about the standard. It should be about what glorifies the Lord. Right? Because if my standard you perceive as a little higher than yours, doesn't make me any more spiritual than you are. We got to be careful. We become Pharisees and Sadducees then. That's when we become separated from but not unto. And I want to emphasize that again. We're to be separated from but unto. I want to do everything unto the glory of God. And I know some of you may take you a while to understand that principle or that concept. I want to be separated from, but unto. The Christian is to walk in light and is to have no fellowship with darkness. And there's two or three scriptures we can turn to, but Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 8 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to stop there, but we are to walk in the light. We ought to stay in the light. We'll keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to glorify Him in all of my life and live a separated life. There's an importance of change in the Christian life. We are commanded, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And there should be. And when you get saved, there should be a different want to. I was reminded again, I'm going to just lay it all out tonight. I was reminded again, someone said to me, well, he has long hair, but, and began to make excuses for this guy. Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You can't get around the verse. There's no wiggle room there. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. And so it comes right out and say it. So if we're to be new creatures, if we're to be new creations, then there should be a different want to. That different want to is I want to glorify God in my body. I want to glorify God in my life. And how am I to do that? I'm going to do that by obeying the Scriptures and what the Scriptures have to say. Amen? Don't shoot the messenger. Areas in which we should change. Number one is our attitude. And we talked about this last Wednesday night. Attitude has so much to do with our lives. You wake up in the morning, your attitude matters. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you think in your heart, that's what you're going to be. And it really is up to you. As you get up, as you go about your day, to have a proper attitude. The sun is always shining above the clouds. Every day, people shouldn't bump into you and say, how are you? And you go, just having a terrible day, And be one of those people, really? You're supposed to be on top of your circumstances, not under them. Quit looking down, look up. You're a Christian. You're saved, born again, going to heaven when you die. It ought to bring a little skip to your step. In fact, my wife tells me every once in a while, she'll tell somebody else when I'm skipping. Why is he skipping for? I just like to skip every once in a while. It's awesome. Have you tried it lately? It's cool. I just, I want to go throughout my life. I want to have a good time at it. Right, Miss Edie? I'm going to have a good time at it. Life was meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And I'm not saying every moment in my life, and the staff would attest to that, that I've got a smile on my face and everything, but majority of the time, yes. Man, I want to live that kind of life, and my attitude is what determines it. Of course, God in my life determines, but attitude determines it. Whatever he thinks in his heart, so is he. Appearance. A lot of people use that 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, where it says God looks upon the heart. And they use that as an example of, we need to make sure the inside is not so much important about the outside. But notice when Samuel's bringing those guys before him that he does notice the outside. And that the outside was important to Samuel. In other words, it was important to the world around them. Now, God's a whole different manner. God can see the inside, but I can't see inside Kelly Clark. So how he looks on the outside does matter. So don't take 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, and apply it only to God. Apply it to the fellow man as well. And what we are perceived as and what we look like matters to the world around us. How we dress matters. How we look matters. Appetites. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of the heart. Remember that, Brother House's favorite verse? And we need to delight in the Lord. Have a spiritual hunger for the things of God. And then we need to also change in our actions. Awaken to righteousness and sin not. I want to just kind of, again, go back to the 2 Corinthians 6. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And there in that verse it says, as we separate from the world, that God in reward will bless us and will have fellowship with the Father. Is that not what it said? Look there with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You come out from the world, God's going to fellowship with you. God's your heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 6, we won't turn there, but we all know the verse, most of us do, that we are the temple of God. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and therefore we should glorify God in our spirit. We are not our own. We are the temple of God. I brought some books with me from the bookstore. I encourage you to get some of these. If you want to learn more about alcohol and why the Bible teaches that you should abstain from alcohol, it's a good one by Paul Chappell on discerning alcohol. Parents, grandparents, man, we need to be careful with our kids on the internet. A good one about being careful and helping our kids navigate the internet. Here's one on God, what we should wear and how we should be modest and so forth. I threw this one in too. Same-sex marriage, and that's a big issue today. Here's one on tattoos. I believe a Christian shouldn't have a tattoo. I know after you get saved, that should be something you separate from. There's a practical reason. I mean, most jobs still have you cover them up. If you work for somebody, you have to put on a long sleeve. Why do they make you do that? That's okay. I'll move on. I like it. He says in the book, you are not your own. This body is not mine. Would you go to your next door neighbor and put graffiti on his house? This is not my body to put graffiti on. This is God's body. And we need to remember that. And that, read the book. It's a very good booklet on it. And he's very kind and gracious about it. But he does some good biblical principles there. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ is commanded to depart from iniquity, and we should lift the banner high and live holy and separated lives. The final goal of separation is being fully dedicated to the Lord and to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's being separated from the world unto God. Have I said that yet? There is a Pharisaical separation that we must be careful of. There is a Pharisaical separation and a biblical separation. There is a difference. And really the primary difference is motive. Think about it for a moment. A person can live a separated life and look down on everybody else. And they can have their standards as merely a motive to look down on everybody else. And we see it all over the place. And I would say some Baptists in the past have practiced it pretty heavy. I'm not to look down on anybody. Man, the Bible says, be careful lest ye fall. We ought to be very, very, very careful. I mentioned this last night to someone again, that memorizing the Bible doesn't make you spiritual. Going to church does not make you spiritual. Giving in the offering doesn't make you spiritual. Having a dress standard doesn't make you spiritual. Now, it puts me in a position where if my motives are right, God can make me spiritual. He's the one that makes me spiritual. Amen? Let's remember that. And yes, somebody can come across and in their motives be so wrong and can walk around telling other people how to dress. They become the judge and the jury. That's why I was a little careful tonight. Your standard can be different than mine. Because, you know, I'm thankful for the grace of God. But everybody should have a standard. Because there is a biblical standard. Everyone is different, is at different levels. Be careful to think of yourself highly because of some standard you have set. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Christ likeness is our goal. Amen? That's my goal. My goal is to be like Jesus Christ. And yes, if I'm to be like Christ, I should live a holy life. And I should live a separated life. And therefore, as a dad, as a mom, even as a grandparent, I should influence my kids, I should influence grandkids to live that distinct Christian life. And don't get muddied up and put in some limbo like most of the Christians are today. There are some distinctions that are absolutely black and white that you can make. And then some of those gray areas, err on the side of caution. It's almost like Christians today are... When they set their standard, they kind of just get right up to the cliff. And they say, I'm not worldly. I'm not worldly. That's exactly what you are. They are. I'm telling you, it's all over the place. You know, instead of hanging out here, where it's a little, why don't we just come on over here, right? Let's err on the side of the right. Err on the side of... Maybe I'll be very blunt. Err on the side of a stricter standard rather than a liberal standard. And as long as your motive's right, as long as your attitude is right, then God will bless that. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 160. Turn a good invitation for tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It truly is about glorifying Him, that we follow in His steps, that we live a life that's pleasing to Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus after we pray. Lord, help us tonight to take off the old man and put on the new. Help us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a life that's pleasing to You. Help us to live out our faith, not just have faith, but to live it out, and to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And I pray today and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, that others would see a distinction in us. They'd see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name, amen.